Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jonah this morning. We've had a series of our men who preach to speak on Sunday nights for a number of weeks, and Brother Gary Coffey will be speaking tonight. And Bobby said something to him this morning, said, "You're going to be preaching tonight." And Gary looked at him like he didn't know it, you know. Bobby didn't care. Well, Bobby didn't care. It was me that would worry about that, you know, go into a panic mode. Jonah chapter 1, and I want to read verse 1 through 4, and we're going to look at a few other passages. First one will be found in Matthew chapter 12, if you want to get a bookmark there while we're waiting. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was down into the sides of the ship and lay fast asleep." Let's ask God's help. Father, as we bow our heads before you, we are aware of the promise that your presence is with us who believe. And we invite you into our midst. We speak to you as our Father. We acknowledge our submission unto you that your perfect will be done in this place today. We ask to hear from you in the message of the word and pray that you will speak to our hearts and guide us in what we should do and the decisions we should make. And I ask your blessings upon your people, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jonah is a very real prophet. His story is true. This is not a fairy tale. Jesus not only verified that Jonah is real and that his death had meaning, the symbol of him dying in the great fish and rising again from the dead, Jesus said would be the symbol, the type, the illustration to the nation of Israel in his death, burial, and resurrection to save us from our sins. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Jesus said this is the sign to the nation of Israel. He would die and be buried and rise again from the dead. In the same way that Jonah was cast into the sea and swallowed by the great fish God prepared, and then 3 days later he was spit out on dry ground. So Jonah tried to flee from the presence of God. I want to make a point to you this morning, first of all, that God's presence is with those who believe. Every believer has the presence of God with him. The Spirit of God dwells within the believer. There's nowhere we can go and be outside the presence of God. Twice in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Jonah, he seeks to flee from the presence of the Lord. God is omnipresent. That means he's in all places at all times. There's nowhere you can go that God is not. Psalm 139, the Bible explains that. It tells us in the first few verses here down to verse number 7 that God knows all about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our lives. He knows what takes place in our life every day. And then in verse number 7 it says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." There's no place we can go away from the presence of God if we know Him as our Savior. Men have gone into outer space. They have, when I was a boy, going to space was a Buck Rogers cartoon. And men talked about going into outer space or going to the moon. And it was sci-fi movies, and they were silly as could be, you know. And nobody thought that sort of thing was a reality. But it happened. And men have gone to the moon. Men have traveled into the deep space. They've set up space stations in outer space. They've sent probes to Mars to bring back pictures. They've launched a massive telescope. And like normal science, they launched one that had bad vision. So they had to send a pair of glasses out there and put on it, you know, to get it to work right. And the Hubble telescope. And they've been the far reaches of where man could go. And I want you to know, my friends, when they got there, God was already there. There was nowhere they could go without the presence of the Lord. They've gone to the depths of the sea. When you go into the deepest parts of the oceans in these diving bells, the man can't go there in any other way because of the pressure and because they don't believe anything can live down there because of the darkness. And yet when they get down there, they find all these creatures that belong to God that live in the depths of the ocean, these fluorescent things and things without eyes, and the great whales and giant fish of the sea can still go to those depths because of the way that God created them. They are His playground for His creatures. It makes no difference where you go, God is already there. Bwana Dili was one of my professors at Baptist Bible College. He was a missionary in the Belgian Congo for many, many years. He'd been there about three or four different times, a total of about 35 years he spent there. He built about 25 churches there, helped the people build their own churches. And he would go down rivers with a guide and find a trail that would lead to a village, and he'd get at land there and go to that village. And he's been to villages that had never seen a white man before. And yet on the river going there, there's Coca-Cola signs hanging up on the trees where you could stop and go to a hut and buy a Coca-Cola, you know. So, my friend, you can't go anywhere Coke's not already there, but I'll tell you what, God was there before Coca-Cola came. And there's nowhere we're going to go that God is not already there. He sees us. He watches over us. He sees our needs and provides for us. And for believers, God is planning your life, my friends. He knows all about what's going to take place, and your future has promises from God that He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't hide from God, and you can't hide anything from God. He sees in the darkness of the night, every alleyway, every bedroom, every hidden place. God knows exactly what's taking place. Nothing is hidden from God. You young people, as you get old enough that your parents allow you to go out with boys and girls in a car, I want you to understand that two Christian young people who have every good intention of doing the right things can get in trouble just like two unsaved kids can. If you go park somewhere and get in the back seat of the car, there's danger in that place. You got flesh and I got flesh, and there's a danger there. And you need to understand, God sees even the back seat of the car in the darkest of the night. Nothing's going to transpire that God doesn't see. Jonah thought he could flee from the presence of the Lord. Idolaters leave their idols. They set them up in a prominent place, on the mantle of their home, or in a little God house on their property. But when they leave the worship of that God, they leave their God there. And they go away. They never think their God sees them and knows about their sin and knows about all the things that they're doing in life. But I want you to understand, if you worship God, you never leave Him and He never leaves you. You leave your home, you don't leave God there. You leave church today, I don't even care if you leave your Bible to mark your spot so you can stay in that same pew where you've been sitting. God goes with you. You don't leave Him when you leave here. Everybody who's a believer, the presence of God is with us. You've grown in the Christian faith when you realize that God is always there, that He sees all, He knows all. Sadly, we might get in the flesh sometime and we don't want God around. You know, I've seen people vainly say, God, now close your ears for a minute. I'm going to say something you don't want to hear. That's foolishness, isn't it? God's going to hear it. It's not going to be hidden from Him. Some go out on the weekend at night and want to party a little or something like that. They don't want God to see them. They don't want God to know. Some close the door and get on the internet. They don't want God to see. They don't want God to know. There are things that we do when we go to work. We get around the people that we like to spend time with. And sometimes folks would like to leave God at home and not have Him with them. But my friend, if you're saved, God is with you. He sees everything that transpires. He knows all. And there's nothing that we do that God doesn't know about. We can't hide anything from Him. And there's times God manifests His presence in a greater way, like at church, if He speaks to your heart and you feel that emotion of tears or the presence of God with a shudder that something said in the Bible that God gets hold of you about. There are times He manifests Himself in a greater way than all the time. We go through hours of the day. Sometimes, sadly, we don't think about God and we don't feel God. But God's still there if you're a believer. Genesis 28:16, Jacob dreamed a dream and he saw a ladder from earth to heaven with angels ascending and descending. And he heard the voice of God and he woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. My friend, doesn't matter if we know it or not, God's there. Everywhere you go, if you're a Christian, if you seek to live for God, He will remind you at times He's there. The song on the radio will speak to your heart. A word that somebody says will remind you of how we need to live. Something will happen in your life that draws you to your knees so you draw close to God and His presence. Now with people, it's out of sight and out of mind. There's a couple of families here. I won't mention your name because I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. Try not to embarrass you anymore. But we talk once in a while. We talk about our grandkids and our children and stuff. You know, we say, in family, we say, well, it's grand to see them come and grand to see them go. That's why they call them grandkids. You like to see the headlights, but you enjoy the taillights just as much, you know, once they're gone. But out of sight, out of mind, we're busy in this life. We can forget about mom and dad and cousins and sisters and brothers and all of that sort of thing, real easy. Like if we get real busy or we move to another location and we're not around them and we don't get to see them very often, they're out of sight and out of mind. But it's never that way with God. You might forget about God for a few hours, but God never forgets about you. He knows all about your life and He's taking care of you and providing for you and keeping you safe and blessing you and making a way for you because you're His child and He loves you. God will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. Paul and Silas found God was there in the jail at midnight. When they sang praise to God, He broke the jail down so they could go free. But they didn't go free. Because of them, the jailer got saved and all of his household. Psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is our shepherd. He oversees all that transpires. If you could see a herd of sheep in a valley, and the shepherd sitting upon the hillside with his staff watching over them, he guides them to the grass in the morning, and he leads them to the still waters at noon, and he watches over them to guard them from the beasts of the jungle that would get them. And you see, God is watching over you, protecting you, providing for you. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Now the question today is you have to ask yourself, is He my shepherd? We know the Lord is our shepherd, but is He my shepherd? The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. You have to have a relationship with Him for Him to be your shepherd. You have to be saved. And when you are saved, He oversees and protects and guides and provides all your needs. If you're saved, He's with you and He will never leave you nor forsake you. In John chapter 10, the Bible says He holds us in His hands. In verse 27 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus has protected us. Jesus has provided for us. Just like the good shepherd, He's the good shepherd that gives His life for the sheep. You and I can forget about God, but God won't forget about us. You can hide things from people, but you can't hide things from God. You can leave your parents or your husband or your wife someplace and go away from their presence, but you'll never go away from the presence of God if you know Him as your Savior. Jeremiah reminded us that we can find God if we seek Him with all our heart. And so let us seek God. When we rise in the morning, let us speak to our Father and thank Him that He protected us through the night. Thank Him that He'll protect us through the day. Let Him know we appreciate Him and love Him for what He's done for us in giving Christ to die for our sins. We intentionally seek God, we'll get help from God. You remember those men that carried their friend to the house where Jesus was, and there was a multitude there, and they couldn't get in, so they went up on the little roof there and took the tiles up and let the man down through the roof. You see, they knew if they could just get him to Jesus, he could get help. And if you and I can get to God, we can get the help we need. And when you know God is your Savior, there's no reason you could ever be absent from the presence of the Lord. The church is a place where we come to seek God. We come to seek to hear from God, to hear a message from God. Jesus said we can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy to find grace to help in our time of need in the book of Hebrews. When we leave here today, we don't leave God, He goes with us. And when we sleep tonight, He watches over us. And when we wake tomorrow, we can trust that God will provide and protect us because we walk with Him and honor His name. He has a reason for us to exist and a purpose for us and a plan for us. He sees all we do. We need to draw close to Him and worship Him. Secondly, let us see from Jonah that troubles of life may be there to draw us close to God. Jonah was trying to get away from God, but the troubles he was going through was going to draw him back to God real quick. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then, chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Remember that psalm, you make your bed in hell, God's still there for the believer. He will lead you, He'll protect you, His right hand will uphold you. Jonah was like that. He went away from the presence of God. God prepared this plan to bring him back to where he needed to be. And God prepares things in your life and my life to remind us we're dependent on God, to remind us we need to draw close to God, to remind us we need to spend time with God. In chapter 2, Jonah prays. Look at verse 9. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He cried to God. He gave thanks for salvation. He sought to obey God. You remember the prodigal son who, the Bible says, he came to himself. He went out and wasted everything on riotous living. He was feeding hogs, which a good Jew should never be doing. Remember a comedian on the Hollywood Squares? He had one of those distinct Jewish noses. And they asked him a question. They said, "What do you call a small hog?" He said, "Unclean." The answer was a pig, you know. And old Billy Kelly, he used to preach on the prodigal coming home, and he said, if you ever been down there tending hogs, you know his daddy smelled him long before he saw him coming. Standing out there ready for him, waiting on him to come back. And the picture there is that God the Father wants His wayward to come home to Him. He doesn't want you banished from His presence. He wants you to return. No matter what's happened in your life, no matter how far away you've been, God can clean you up and make you what He wants you to be. Peter found that lesson when he was down there by the seashore with his friends. Jesus had died and rose again. And he went there and Peter saw it was the Lord. And they ate some fish. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" John chapter 21. Verse 15, three times Jesus asked Peter that question. Do you love me? And the answer he gave to Peter is basically this. If you love me, then obey me. If you love me, then serve me. If you love me, then go and do what I've told you to do. And Peter was to go and preach the gospel to every creature, but Peter wasn't doing that. Peter had gone fishing. Now, I don't believe it's a sin to go fishing. I think it's fun to go fishing. I enjoy fishing. But I'm at church today where I'm supposed to be. And tomorrow when I'm supposed to be with somebody or something, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to go fishing instead of doing the work of the Lord. Fishing's something I can do as a hobby when I got time, when I don't have a ministry to perform. Peter had turned away from God and gone back to fishing. Peter was like my buddy. Some of you know the story I've told about the motorcycle. That he just couldn't stay away from the rough crowd because he had a motorcycle. So for him, he needed to get rid of that motorcycle. If that motorcycle made him want to go back with the Hell's Angels, he needed to get rid of the motorcycle. Nothing wrong with riding a motorcycle. I enjoy that thoroughly. Of course, I'm just no good at it. I keep falling down and getting hurt. So I'm not riding. But it's not because I think it's a sin to ride a motorcycle. I think it's okay to ride a bike. I love the thrill of cruising along and the wind in your face and the nature you can see and smell and all that sort of thing. But if that motorcycle kept me out of church or kept me away from God or caused me to want to go do something wrong as a result of it, then I need to get rid of the motorcycle. You see what I'm saying? Peter needed to get rid of the boat. Wasn't wrong to fish. That's how they made a living in that day. But if you put the boat before God, then the boat becomes something that's an idol. And we made it wrong before God. We need to seek God. He's not far from us. If you're in trouble, it's to help you come back to the Lord and be where you need to be. David, we still got 10 minutes till 12. If it gets too cold, bump those up 1 degree and they'll probably shut off. Thirdly, God wants us to tell others about Him. Look at chapter 3 in Jonah, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." God wants us to obey Him in our life. God's prepared a plan for us, and God wants us to speak of Him. He wants us to tell others about Him. He wants us to tell about salvation. He wants us to do that. And it's hard for us to do that, to speak up to other people. It was hard for Jonah. Jonah knew what the Ninevites were like. And Jonah knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, how that Nineveh would have a part in conquering Israel in the future. And he didn't want them to get saved. He didn't want to go down there with those people. He knew about them. And he ran away instead of doing what God would have him to do. But God lovingly prepared a great fish and sent a great storm. And when the storm got so bad, Jonah knew it was because of him, and he told the sailors. The Bible says they rowed as hard as they could to try to get to land, but they just couldn't do it. The storm was too great. People will help you go away from God, friend, but the day is going to come, if you're saved, God's going to pull on your chain, And He's going to prepare something that will draw you back to Him. Young people, you listen to me. If you don't live for God and you get out in the world, start living in sin, if you're saved, you turn around and look, every one of you, look at that brick wall back there. You see that brick wall? You'll run into one of those one day if you go away from God. He'll stop you in your tracks. He'll cut your legs out from under. Tim Lee said he knew God had called him to preach, and he went to Vietnam to run from God. And God took his legs out from under him, and he humbled himself to God and came back and started preaching the gospel as a cripple with no legs. I understand that God can deal with my heart to draw me to repentance, to draw me to the place that I get close to God, to draw me back to where I need to be. And sometimes it has to be a crisis, because God lovingly chastens us. But if we don't respond to that chastisement, He can put that brick wall up in front of us. And the scourge is a hard way. God told Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the prick of the ox goad is a chastening, but God can bring a scourging. Paul suffered that because of preaching the gospel. He understood what it meant. You and I need to be a witness to our family and our co-workers and people we live near and work with. And it's hard sometimes to speak to some people about God. Hard to speak up among some folks. Hard to speak up for God with a different race of people. A different ethnic group of people. But I want you to know God wants to make disciples of every nation, of every tribe, of every language, of every race of people, and He wants us to be found faithful in speaking the gospel to everyone we meet. Jonah warned Nineveh of God's judgment in chapter 3 and verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Would to God our King would put on sackcloth and ashes and repent of his sins and believe there's a judgment of God that's coming, and we all need to draw close to God, from the greatest to the least. The people of Nineveh believed God, and you and I better believe God, and we need to help others to believe God before it's too late for them. You've seen this show on TV, advertisements. I've never watched the show, but I've seen the advertisements numerous times about intervention. People who are on drugs and alcohol and things like that in the family and friends intervene. They go to them and try to get them to wake up and see the reality and change their life before it's too late, before they destroy themselves with what they're doing. Well, my friend, there's spiritual intervention too. We need to go to some people and plead with them about the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse them of their sin and not to stand at the judgment of God. God said to Jonah in chapter 4 and verse number 11, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Will we look at the wicked world we live in and isolate ourselves from it? Insulate ourselves from it? Or will we see and know the compassion and mercy of God for sinners that He's had on us and that we need to have on others around us? Romans 5:8, "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let us warn them of the judgment to come. Let us tell of His love and His mercy and His grace. Let us enjoy the presence of God that is with us and not forget about God. Not let it be out of sight of church, out of mind of God. Out of sight of the home of the Bible, out of mind with God. Let us continually recognize that God is with us and that He is our shepherd and He is protecting us and leading us and guiding us, and He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Turn over in your Bibles if you'd like. I want to read Psalm 100. Many of you could quote it probably. I learned that as a boy in the Presbyterian Church Vacation Bible School. Memorize Psalm 100. Psalm 101. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Read it with me if you want to. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let us pursue to know our God better and to be more conscious and aware of His presence and to draw close to Him. And if you've gotten away from the Lord, my friend, don't wait for the great fish to come along. Don't wait for the great storm. Humble your heart before God and draw close to Him. He already knows all about you. You haven't hidden anything from Him. And He stands ready to forgive you and restore you if you'll come to Him and seek His face. Let's stand together, please. Oh Lord, so many times in these 40 years I've fallen on my face before You and humbled myself because I'm a sinner. I have done things that are wrong. I have said things that are hurtful and harmful and unholy. I have listened to things that I ought not. I've looked at things that I ought not. And I've been convicted by Your Spirit that dwells within me. And I've humbled myself and confessed my sins and found Your forgiveness. And how wonderful it is to know that You will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we will confess our sin unto You. So bless Your people today. Draw us close to You. Help us to recognize Your presence with us. The promises that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. The fact that You'll one day be able to present us faultless before the throne of God. All depends upon what Jesus did on Calvary's cross for us all. Help us to be thankful. Help us to serve You out of love and adoration. Now as we pause for a moment, speak to hearts, Holy Spirit, and deal with us that we might see the need in our lives and make the decisions we should before we leave this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.